Hello, everyone. My name is Hannah, and you're listening to Mystic and Murder, a paranormal, unexplained, and true crime podcast. In today's episode, we will be discussing the Rolling Hills Asylum located in East Bethany, New York. Today, East Bethany is a small town with a population around 1,300 people. It is located about 40 minutes southwest of Rochester, New York, and about an hour east of Buffalo, New York. Back in 1824, New York State enacted the County Poorhouse Act, which meant that each county was required to build one or more poorhouses for the eligible population. These poorhouses, also known as the county house or asylums, were government-run and funded. It is stated that those who were eligible for residency at the poorhouse included, quote, habitual drunkards, lunatics, paupers, state paupers, and vagrants, end quote. In those times, the term lunatic was used to refer to those who lost their use of reason due to disease, old age, grief, or accident. It also included those who were incapable of overseeing their own affairs. The term pauper was used to refer to a person who had no means of income. A state pauper was the terminology used for a person who was, quote, blind, lame, old, or disabled, end quote, with no source of income. In accordance with the new act, the Genesee County Board of Supervisors met in Bethany on December 4, 1926. They decided that an old brick stagecoach tavern would be the perfect location for the county's new poorhouse. It was geographically located in the center of Genesee County at the time. The county has since expanded and separated into Genesee and Wyoming counties. On December 9, 1826, an official announcement was posted in the Batavia Times newspaper, which read, quote, notice is hereby given that the Genesee County Poorhouse will be ready for the reception of paupers on the first day of January 1827. The overseers of the poor of the several towns of the County of Genesee are requested, in all cases of removal of paupers to the county poorhouse, to send them with their clothing, beds, bedding, and such other articles belonging to the paupers as may be necessary and useful to them. End quote. No matter the reason for their residency, all who inhabited the poorhouse were referred to as inmates. There was no separation of residence, meaning that mothers, children, and orphans lived with criminals and those who were deemed insane. It wasn't until 1828 that a stone building was attached to the poorhouse for the, quote, confinement of lunatics and paupers committed for misconduct, end quote. It was also home to those labeled insane until it was conceded by the Board of Supervisors to send, quote, persons suffering with acute insanity, end quote, to Buffalo State Asylum, while those with, quote, violent chronic insanity, end quote, were sent to Willard Asylum for the chronic insane. In 1938, the well-known triangular-shaped building was added to serve as the Genesee County Infirmary. The new hospital addition, also known as the West Wing, housed people with all types of illnesses, including tuberculosis. The poorhouse was also known as the Genesee County Poor Farm, or the county home. It was a farmland with woods that spanned over 200 acres. Able-bodied residents would work the farm in order to lower the cost of care. It was reported in 1871 that the cost to care for each person was about $1.08 per week, which today equates to about $25. The residents raised cows, pigs, horses, chickens, and ducks. They grew their own fruits and vegetables, canned their own jams and jellies, worked in the bakery, butchered the meat, and even built their own coffins in a woodshop on site. There are 1,200 documented deaths, however, it is estimated that more than 1,700 were buried while the building functioned as a poorhouse. While it is possible to find reports of those who died at the county home, no one knows where they are buried. It's reported that there's a burial ground on site. However, a plot map for the cemetery has never been found. In 1866, it was reported that the burial ground was, quote, improved by building a fence in front and grading and leveling the ground as much as could be done without injury to the graves, end quote. This is the only known information about the graveyard. It is also said that during the tuberculosis epidemic, when the ground was frozen over and the poorhouse morgue was full, bodies were stored in the kitchen's meat freezers. It is also rumored that the patients close to death were put in the freezer and left to die. Though the dead's final resting place is unknown, there is a memorial site located in present-day Genesee County Park that serves as a tribute to those who died at the county home. The thousands of pine trees surrounding the site were originally planted by the residents of the poorhouse. The park makes up all but 11 acres of the original poor farm. As for the other 11 acres, many of the buildings were torn down, leaving just the main brick building, the carriage house, and a few smaller barns. The poorhouse closed its doors in 1965 and the building transformed into a nursing home. During its years as a nursing home, 200 more deaths were reported. The nursing home was relocated to a different town in 1974. The building was left vacant for 20 years when it was turned into a unique mall called the Carriage Village and later called the Rolling Hills Country Mall, which closed in 2007. In 2012, its current owner moved in and renamed the property Rolling Hills Asylum. Today, it serves as a paranormal research center and offers ghost hunting tours. In fact, Rolling Hills Asylum has appeared on many TV shows, including BuzzFeed Unsolved, Travel Channel's Ghost Adventures, Sci-Fi's Ghost Hunters, and more. If you decide to partake in a tour at Rolling Hills Asylum, there are a few popular spirits that you may encounter. An asylum favorite is the 7-foot shadow man named Roy. Roy Krause was dropped off at the poorhouse at only 12 years old. It is thought that his family was unable to care for him, or perhaps society was too cruel, as his father was known to be a prominent banker. Roy suffered from a medical condition called gigantism. He died at the age of 52 and was over 7.5 feet tall at the time of his death. His apparition can often be seen lurking about in the hallways of Rolling Hills and is known to be very friendly. Some sources state that a more sinister spirit, known as Nurse Emmy, is thought to haunt the asylum. It is claimed that during her time at the poorhouse, she was not well liked and even feared by other staff and inmates. She was accused of being violent and cruel. It is rumored that she practiced dark magic and was part of a coven. However, other sources, including the official Rolling Hills Asylum Facebook page, state that Emma E. Allwart was not an evil spirit, nor did she partake in dark magic. It is stated that she is buried in a Baptist cemetery alongside her husband. Nurse Emma's presence can be felt throughout the asylum, but many visitors claim they felt no negative energy while investigating. Another presence felt at Rolling Hills Asylum is a spirit known as Raymond, who occupies the boiler room. Some sources made claims that he is a negative spirit who used to be an inmate at the poorhouse accused of child molestation. However, clarification came from the owner of Rolling Hills Asylum that Raymond was not an inmate nor a criminal. A post on the official Rolling Hills Asylum Facebook page stated that, quote, Raymond was not a patient. Raymond was not a pedophile. His last name was Raymond. His first name was John. He handled maintenance and other jobs here. He was a very nice man. End quote. It is also common to hear a woman's disembodied scream throughout the asylum, the source of which is unknown. Some say it could be one of the first residents of the poorhouse named Phoebe White. She moved in at age 9 in 1828 and lived at the Poor Farm for 58 years, until she was found dead in her room at age 67. One room, located in the basement, tends to see a lot of paranormal activity. It is referred to as the Christmas Room. There were many children at the poorhouse, and this is where they would spend time during the holidays. Presently, it is set up as the Christmas Room all year round. Many have experienced toys moving on their own during ghost hunting adventures. On the episode of BuzzFeed Unsolved, they set up a stuffed dog that measured static energy around it. The dog's nose lit up and emitted a musical sound if it was touched or if something came very close to it. They asked a series of questions with no activity before leaving the room. A static cam was then set up and left to record. After an hour of inactivity, the dog's nose began to light up and music played. There is a hallway leading to the infirmary known as Shadow Hallway. Shadow people are often seen here. It is said that sometimes they appear as grayscale, full-body apparitions, and other times you may just see part of a figure pop out of one of the doorways in the hall. Several more spirits are very active there. Rolling Hills Asylum website has 41 EVPs, or electric voice phenomena, that you can listen to, as well as a lot of photographic evidence. You'll find pictures of a woman in the window who was thought to be a resident of the nursing home, photos of Roy in the hallway, full-body apparitions, and more. If you would like to see the evidence of spirits for yourself, head over to rollinghillsasylum.com. How is it that this site is so active, you might ask? On Ghost Adventures, it was noted that there is a power grid across the street. It is thought that this is an energy source that contributes to the amount of paranormal activity that occurs at the asylum. Perhaps the spirits are using the energy from the power grid to communicate and appear to the living. It is also thought that a portal may exist in Shadow Hallway, allowing spirits to enter our world. Whatever the reason, this old stagecoach tavern turned home and haunted attraction is a hotbed of paranormal activity with a deep and dark history. That's all for today's episode. New episodes of Mystic and Murder will be posted every Sunday. Tune in and subscribe on Spotify, Anchor, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and more. You can find the podcast on Instagram and Twitter at Mystic and Murder, and you can send in an email to mysticandmurder@gmail.com with suggestions, requests, or personal spooky stories. If you like what you hear and you'd like to support the podcast, you can go to www.patreon.com/mysticandmurder, or you can click support on anchor.fm/mysticandmurder. Thank you all so much for listening, and I hope you sleep tight. Remember, all things weird lurk at night.